Good morning, New Hope. Good morning. You guys awake? Yes. Should we try that again? Good morning, New Hope. Oh, yeah. Dude, we do have volleyball today at 3:30 at Andrews. I forgot to let that know. So if you're interested, and hey, we get some 60-year-olders playing, so no excuse, man. No excuse. So if you have your Bibles, you can open it up to the book of Esther. Yes. So if you missed us the last couple of weeks, we are going to close out the book of Esther today. But if you desire to hear the first two parts, you can listen to it online. NewHopeEastHawaii.com. All right. So we went through the beginning of Esther, and we came to the part where Queen Vashti refused to be paraded in front of her drunk king and his friends, and they had to find a new queen. And then that's how they found Esther. And as we ended last week, do you remember that Haman, the guy who really wanted to eliminate all the Jewish people, found out what he was doing, and he had to be humbled, and he had to, parade around his worst enemy, Mordecai. He had to put him on a horse, put him on a robe, and pull him around, and that's the guys he wanted to destroy. Yeah? And so now, we're starting in Esther chapter 7. Yeah? So after all these things, now the king and Haman came to drink wine with Esther. Okay, so this was Esther. Esther still did not reveal her race to the king. So she went to the king. The king accepted her, so she wasn't put to death. And then now the king said, what can I do for you? And I'll give you up to half my kingdom. So she said, I'm going to make a banquet for you. So then they have the banquet, and then the king asked her again, what can I do for you? So she said, come again tomorrow, and she's going to do the same thing. So the king and Haman came to the banquet. So now the king and Haman came to drink wine with Esther the queen. And the king said to Esther on the second day also, as they drank their wine at the banquet, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Even to half the kingdom, it shall be done. Okay, so the hammer is coming down, man. And Queen Esther replied, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given to me as a petition and my people as my request. For we have been sold, and I and my people to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Now, if we had only been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not be commensurate with the annoyance of the king. So, the king is probably thinking, what is going on? Because he signed a decree to destroy all the Jews, but she doesn't know that she's Jewish. Then king asked the queen Esther, who is he? Who did this? Who would do such a thing to have my queen destroyed? Who is he and where is he? Who would presume to do this? If the king did his research, he would have maybe thought before he did that signed that decree. So Esther said, a foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman. And now Haman is right there. Then Haman became terrified, because now he is accused of plotting to kill the queen and her people. So he became terrified before the king and queen. The king arose in his anger from drinking wine and went into the garden palace. Think about it. Maybe that was a wise thing. He was drinking. He got angry. So he went, instead of killing Haman right there with his own hands, maybe he said, okay, I better go outside for a little while. How many of you, when you guys get mad, you guys say, okay, wait, I need to take a break. Before I start yelling at my children and my wife, I better go outside, or before I yell at my employees, or, you know, my boss or somebody, maybe I need to go outside, kind of breathe, relax, get some fresh air, think about it before I come in and kill somebody. Yeah? And if you do, I know God can use you in the prison ministry. All right? Male or female. Yeah? So he went outside. But Haman stayed to beg for his life from the queen, from Queen Esther. For he saw that harm had been determined against him by the king. Now when the king returned from the palace garden into the palace where they were drinking wine, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. And the king said, "Will he even assault the queen with me in the house?" So it looked like he was trying to assault her. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs who were before the king, said, "Behold, indeed, the gallows standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who spoke good on behalf of the king." And the king said, "Hang him on it." So they hang Haman on the gallows, which he had prepared for Mordecai. And the king's anger subsided. So you kind of see, that was one of the reasons I really enjoyed this book. Maybe for the wrong reason, because I finally get to enjoy it with Mordecai, because what goes around comes around. And that's my fault. I don't think I should be gloating at somebody else's demise. But yet, sometimes it feels good, because doesn't it feel good when the good guy wins out? When the good guy does something right, he's not rewarded, he does no wrong, then he's going to be persecuted for what he does. And then in the end, he victory comes and the bad guy dies, and yay! I kind of like that story. And that's one part of number one, justice wins. Justice always wins. I think justice always wins when you're on God's side, because we don't see it happening. We may never see the justice done to those who have wronged us. But I believe we move on, and then they get their share, because what you plant, you harvest. And sometimes I believe as human beings, we worry a little bit too much about those who wrong us. And I think we try to take things in our own hands. And we wanna make justice happen ourselves. Kind of like revenge. Yeah? How many of you ever said, "I don't get mad, I get even"? Oh, the rest of you guys, not so honest, huh? I mean, how many times? "I don't get mad, I get even." So, Jay, when spiders are coming back your way, for that little, one day he threw that white sack thing that I thought it was a sack thing from under the spider. He threw one at me, but it wasn't a sack thing, but it made me jump. Yeah. And so I think we dwell on those things a little bit too much, you know. But, you know, when I think Mordecai, he kind of just said, "Okay, we're scheduled to be annihilated. Okay, Esther, do something about it," you know. And, you know, it could end there. The book could end there, and I would be, like, totally satisfied, and I would understand that when God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay," like, it happened right there. But the story is far from over. So now we jump into Esther chapter 8. Okay. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther and Mordecai. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had disclosed what he was to her. So now he's saying, okay, she let the king know, okay, I am the race that you signed the decree to destroy. So I think he is kind of to blame too. So he says, okay, Mordecai, the guy who saved you from the plot to be assassinated, but that's my uncle. So we family. So Esther disclosed that to him. The king took off his signet ring, which he had taken away from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. So that ring has power, yeah? So you can write letters, and you can put wax, and you can seal it, and it's official from the king. So he gave that to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Then Esther spoke again to the king, fell at his feet, and wept, and implored him to avert the evil scheme of Haman, the Agagite, and his plot which he had devised against the Jews. The king extended the golden scepter to Esther, because you know from before, she couldn't just walk up to the king and say, hey, king, or husband, whatever. She, even if she was the queen, she just couldn't walk in on the king. That to do that would be punishable by death. So he extended the scepter, means, okay, you can come before me. So Esther rose and stood before him. Then she said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor before him, and the matter seems proper to the king, and I am pleasing in his sight, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. So now this whole, just like the province, remember the 127 provinces, almost all of the Middle East, this is what the king's territory was. This was, all the letters went out into these 127 like districts, you would say. And these letters went out saying, on this day, I give you permission to annihilate the Jews. So she's asking, can you like revoke this thing? For how can I endure to see calamity which will befall my people? And how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? So King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given the house of Haman to Esther and him that they have hanged on the gallows because he had stretched out his hand against the Jews. Now you write to the Jews as you see fit in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For a decree which is written in the name of the king and is sealed with the king's signet ring cannot be revoked. So what he said earlier, the letter he sent, he cannot take it back. He cannot change the laws. Just as how he banished Queen Vashti from his presence, he cannot undo it. So the king's scribes were called at that time, in the third month, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of those provinces, which extended from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, every province according to its script, and every people according to their language, as well as to the Jews according to their script and their language. So they had to write these letters probably in many different languages to every district in the king's area. And he wrote in the name of the king, in King Ahasuerus, and sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horses, riding on steeds sired by the royal stud. In them the king granted the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, to annihilate the entire army of any people or province which might attack them, including children and women, and to plunder their spoil on one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, the 13th day of the 12th month. That is the month of Adar. So now, they're still not out of it. They're still not delivered. But they have permission to fight back. So a copy of that edict was issued as law in each and every province, was published to all the people, so that the Jews would be ready for this day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers, hastened and impelled by the king's command, went out riding on the royal steeds, and the decree was given out at the citadel at Susa. So that's where the king was, at Susa. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes, a blue, white, with a large crown of gold and garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced, for the Jews there was light and gladness and joy and honor. In each and every province and each and every city, wherever the king's command and his decree arrived, there was gladness and joy for the Jews, a feast and a holiday. I mean, I don't know if I'd be feasting yet. I kind of would wait until it's all over. But they were just happy and excited that they were permitted to defend themselves. Many among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen on them. So now, instead of thinking like, oh, we're going to annihilate this race, we're going to destroy them, men, women, children, we're going to take their plunder. Now, roles were reversed. Now they were afraid of the Jewish people. Esther 9. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day when the king's command and edict were about to be executed, on the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain mastery over them, it was turned to the contrary, so that the Jews themselves gained the mastery over those who hated them. The Jews assembled in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could stand before them. Why do you think that? That God's chosen people. No matter how many times the devil tried to annihilate the Jewish race, they're still alive. For the dread of them had fallen on all the people, and even all the princes of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who were doing the king's business and assisted the Jews, because the dread of Mordecai had fallen on them. Indeed, Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For the man Mordecai became greater and greater. Thus, the Jews struck all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying. And they did what they pleased to those who hated them. At the citadel in Susa, that's where the king was, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. And Parshhandatha, Dalphin, Aspartha, Paratha, Adalia, Aridatha, Parmashta, I'm butchering these words, Arisai, Aradai, and Vazaz. You know, when you got to pronounce this word, you should try Blue Letter Bible, and then you can listen to them pronounce it. So don't go and butcher these words like me. Okay? So all these guys, the 10 sons of Haman and the sons of Hammedatha, the Jews' enemies, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. So they destroyed all these guys, but they never took their plunder. Maybe they were just classy and they had like, okay, this is enough for us that God granted us that we can defend ourselves. And on that day, the number of those who were killed at the citadel in Susa was reported to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman at the citadel in Susa. When they had done in the rest of the king's provinces, now what is your petition?" So the king is asking, now what do you want? "It shall be granted to you. And what is your further request?" "It shall be done." So then the queen, she said, "If it pleases the king, let tomorrow also be granted to the Jews who are in Susa to do according to the edict of today." So she said, "Give me one more day. Just give me one more day." A couple guys left are like, "Lick. How's that, man? This sweet queen. Just give me one more day. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows So the king commanded that it should be done just in that district, just in that province. So an edict was issued in Susa, and Haman's 10 sons were hanged. The Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men in Susa, but they did not lay hands again on the plunder. Now the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces assembled to defend their lives and rid themselves of the enemies and kill 75,000 of those who hated them, but they did not lay hands on the plunder. So can you imagine from the beginning when Queen Esther was taken away, taken out of her home, brought to the king's palace, they put her 12 months in the best beauty school to get her ready for the king. And then she got, you know, not by choice now. And then she got selected as queen. And then Mordecai got the news that they were going to be destroyed. And then Mordecai said, man, queen, maybe you were put in this royal place for such a time as this. And what the devil meant in the beginning to destroy the race of the Jews, God's chosen people, he turned it around. He turned it around so that God's chosen people could destroy the enemy. Some of you may be wondering, why am I going through these trials right now? What is going on? It might be health, it might be finances, might be relational. But think, what is coming out of this? And I don't think Esther could see that when she got snatched out of her house and taken away, put in this place unfamiliar to her. And then maybe, I don't know how many months later this took place, but then now we can see what God is doing. And we can see how God had placed this in order so that the Jews can destroy the enemies. So number two, victory and the glory doesn't go to Esther, doesn't go to Mordecai. It belongs to God. Amen. When you come out of your trial, when you come out of your illness and receive health, when you get out of debt, when you receive Christ, when you get all these victories in your life, it's not like you stand up saying, ah, was me, I did it. Oh, God going to get you for that. But you give glory to God. You know, when I catch a fish, oh, it's thank you, Jesus. Not thank you, fishing pole and reel. You know what I mean? I could worship my fishing pole and reel, but it wasn't them. It wasn't, you know, it was God. And when the fish comes off the line and cuts my line, instead of cursing before that, because that's all used to come out of my mouth, cursing and wanting to throw the fishing pole in the water and everything. Now when the fish comes off the line, it's like, well, thank you that I got to feel that fight for 30 seconds or even less. You know, it's praise God for the things, you know, the victory, even the trial. And now, when I face my trials, I just look for something to learn, because I said, God, I want to learn this as fast as I can so I can get out of here. Amen? Victory. The victory that the Jews had, the glory, all belonged to God. So this was done on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day they rested and made it a day of feasting and rejoicing. But the Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 13th and 14th of the same month, and they rested on the 15th. So the guys in the province of the king, they had an extra day to work over their enemies. So they had to wait for their celebration for one more day and made that day a day of feasting. Therefore, the Jews of the rural areas who live in the rural towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a holiday for rejoicing and for feasting. And sending portions of food to one another. Then Mordecai recorded these events. He sent letters to all the Jews in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to celebrate the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same month annually. So they made this to a celebration. Because on those days, the Jews rid themselves of their enemies. And it was a month which was turned for them from sorrow into gladness, from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and rejoicing and sending portions of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Thus the Jews undertook what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written for them. For Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the adversary of all the Jews, had schemed against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pure, that is the lot, to distribute and to destroy them. But when it came to destroy, when it came to the king's attention, he commanded by letter that this wicked scheme which had been devised against the Jews should return to his own head and that his son should be hanged. Man, it tells you this. I think one of the things I learned from this, if you have enemies, just be nice to them. Don't try to set them up, sabotage them, because you know what? It's going to come back to you. And we don't want that. Maybe that's why the Bible says pray for your enemies, yeah? I think if you can pray for your enemies, then you wouldn't try to destroy them. Therefore, they called these days pure, after the name of Pur. And because of the instructions in this letter, both what they had seen in this regard and what had happened to them, the Jews established and made a custom for themselves and for their descendants. And they still celebrate it, sometime I think in March, for the descendants and all those who allied themselves with them, so that they would not fail to celebrate these 2 days according to their regulation and according to their appointed time annually. So these days were to be remembered and celebrated throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city. And these days of Purim were not to fail from among the Jews, or their memory fade from the descendants. Then Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm his second letter about Purim. And he sent the letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, namely words of peace and truth, to establish these days of Purim at their appointed time, just as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had established for them, and just as they had established for themselves and for their descendants, with the instructions for their times of fasting and lamentations. The command of Esther established these customs for Purim, and it was written in the book. And I think the lessons that we can learn from this book, and not only this book, when we read the Bible and when we look at what's going on, God's word is so powerful. And even though these books were written thousands and thousands of years ago, it is so amazing of how relevant it is with us today. So because of all of this, now yearly, the Jews, they do this celebration of Purim where they feast and they give gifts. Sounds like what we do every day, yeah? We bring gifts to our friends and we feast. Amen? And I hope this book was just showed you some of the many treasures we find in God's word as we read it. And if you are following along in the bookmark, you know, we just finished the book of Esther. I did not plan it that way. It was all ordained by God. And it was when I opened my Bible and I said, oh, we're in Esther. It's like, wow. I thought, not a coincidence. It is God. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the book of Esther, for the lessons we learn from Esther, from Mordecai, even from Haman, and even from the king, and the decrees he made without even thinking about it. Lord, we see how things plan out when we trust you. We see why we are here. Maybe we're here for such a time as this. Maybe you are here today not having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you were brought here for a time maybe to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Or maybe to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. And if you are, then with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? It's asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to be your Savior. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, would you hold up a hand? Anybody else out there? 1, 2, 4, 5. You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands, and they say yes to you. I want you to be the Lord. I want to recommit my life to you. And Lord, I pray that their walk with you would grow stronger and stronger each day. And I pray that through the book of Esther, you have spoken to each and every one of us. Lord, that we would step out in faith, even if we are afraid. We would understand why we're here. And we would step out to serve you in where you have called us to be. Thank you so much for the lessons. We love you. And we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord thanks?